Class, let's open our Bibles, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 4. Is this too loud? It sounds like it's a little too loud for me. Sounds like what? John's Gospel, chapter 4, please. Come down to verse 3. He, the Lord Jesus, left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith to her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where, then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and his sons, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Let's look to the Lord once again. Now, Father, we commend us to thee and pray that thou wilt guide in our thinking and speaking, and that we will be not only attentive to the word, but responsive also. And we pray that we will allow the Holy Spirit of God to take the things of Christ and make them real in us, that he may do his work in our life and through us to the blessing of others. We commend us to thee, praying in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, in these studies, we have been thinking about things that the Jews could and did boast about: race, religion, royal line, revelation. As to race, the Lord Jesus said he was greater than Abraham. Before Abraham was, he said, I am. As to religion, which was centralized in that temple in Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus said that he was greater than the temple and everything connected with it. As to the royal line, the Jews boasted in the family of kings, which was theirs, and the wisest of all kings, apart from the Lord Jesus himself, was Solomon. And we have noted that the Lord Jesus said, Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. As to revelation, the writer of Hebrews tells us that God spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or in Son is the actual wording. God revealed something of himself in times past by giving many words to the prophets of old, but at the end of the Old Testament days, God used one word to reveal himself completely, and that one word is our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were thinking of Jonah, who was swallowed by the great fish or the whale, the English translators used, but God prepared that great fish. God had commissioned Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach. He was reluctant. He was disobedient at first. He had to be driven there. And the whole city repented. And the Lord Jesus said, "Behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Well, this morning we think of resources. And in thinking of resources, we are reminded that God brought his people to this land flowing with milk and honey. A land of wells. And we are reading about the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, with whom the Lord Jesus Christ dealt. And we think of that well being given to the people of Jacob so many years ago. Resources. Water is one of the vital resources. Water is so necessary. I need to drink more water. For some reason, I don't like to drink water. But this is something I pulled up on the internet. 75% of Americans, maybe Bahamians too, 75% of Americans are chronically dehydrated. In 37% of Americans, the first mechanism is so weak that the thirst mechanism is so weak that it is often mistaken for hunger. Even mild dehydration will slow down one's metabolism as much as 3%. One glass of water shut down hunger pains for almost 100% of the dieters in a universal study. Lack of water is the number one trigger of daytime fatigue. Maybe some of you need to drink a big glass of water before coming to these meetings. Preliminary research indicates that 8 to 10 glasses of water a day could significantly ease back and joint pain up to 80% of sufferers. A mere 2% drop in body water can trigger fuzzy short-term memory. Boy, I do need to drink more water. Trouble with focusing on the computer screen or on a printed page. Drinking 5 glasses of water daily decreases the risk of colon cancer by 45%. Plus, it can slash the risk of breast cancer by 79%. And one is 50% less likely to develop bladder cancer. We need to drink more water. And so the Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria, because he knew that at this well of water, he would have this encounter with this Samaritan woman. Jacob's well is at Shechem. The present-day name is Nablus. If you were to look at a map of Israel, look at Samaria, north of Jerusalem, and go on up the map until you come to Nablus. And there on one side, you will see Mount Gerizim, Mount of Blessing. And on the other side, Mount Ebal, Mount of Cursing. And Shechem is right on the shoulder of the two. You might remember that Shechem was one of the cities of refuge. Every city of refuge had to be on an eminence. And Shechem, which means shoulder, is right on the shoulder of Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And it's there at Shechem you will find Jacob's well. I've had the privilege and the pleasure of being to that well a couple of times. A good many tourists do not go there today. It's one of the hot spots, but we'll be staying right near there next month. I hope we will have a chance to go to that well and drink from that well once again. You might remember that the tribes of Israel were divided. The 10 tribes to the north revolted, forming the northern kingdom, and Samaria was its capital. The two remaining tribes, Judah and Benjamin, but known as Judah, made up the southern kingdom, and Jerusalem was its capital. Now, the 10 northern tribes were taken into captivity by the Assyrians. Later, the 2 southern tribes, you will remember, were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. But when the Assyrians took the 10 northern tribes, some of the Assyrians cohabitated with the Jews, thus bringing about, using a very crude term, bringing about these half-breeds, if you please. And some use that crude term. But not only so, the king of Assyria planted in that province, in that area, a colony of various nations. You'll read of that in 2 Kings chapter 17. And the end result was a strange medley of a religion by combining the principles and the rites and rituals of Judaism with those of Oriental idolaters. Make a note of 1 Kings chapter 12, 2 Kings chapter 17, and you'll get something of the background of this. So, the 10 northern tribes taken captive by the Assyrians, and later the 2 southern tribes went into the Babylonian captivity. And you will remember, after the Babylonian captivity, some Jews came back, not all, but some Jews came back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple under Ezra and Nehemiah. And it was at the time of the return of the remnant of the southern kingdom from the Babylonian captivity that the Samaritans offered to enter into an alliance with the Jews and to help in their construction. But they were refused. And consequently, the Samaritans hated the Jews and vice versa. And the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans believed that it was in Mount Gerizim that they were to worship and not Jerusalem. And the Samaritans still worship on Mount Gerizim. There are only about 600 Samaritans left today. And in thinking of them, we wonder what will happen to them if that area is given over to the Palestinians. I hope they don't give it away. But if they do, the Samaritans will be in a precarious position. They are right now, because they're not accepted by the Jews so much, and neither by the Palestinians. But there are about 600 Samaritans today, and they still offer sacrifice. When we were up on Mount Gerizim a few years back, we met with one of the priests, and he was showing us where they offer sacrifices, and so on. Well, the Lord Jesus was going from Judea up to Galilee. There were basically 2 ways of going, and most Jews would go the other way, that is, not through Samaria. They would go the other way, but no, the Lord Jesus Christ must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because he, being the God-man, in his foreknowledge, he knew that he was going to have this encounter with this Samaritan woman. And so we read that he came to this area where was Jacob's well. He was weary, and he sat thus on the well. It was an ancient well, and the woman told the Lord Jesus that as if he did not know. But the Lord Jesus was weary, we read. He was weary, and he sat thus on the well. You know, in stressing his deity, as we're doing in this series of messages, we might be inclined to overlook his humanity. The Lord Jesus was a real man. He got hungry. He got tired. He slept. He did the things that human beings do. He was the perfect human being, but he was a human being. And we can't forget that. You know, he was asleep in that boat on the Sea of Galilee. He was asleep because he's every bit man. And yet when that storm arose, he stood in that ship and he said to the wind and to the sea, "Peace, be still." And it was so, because he's God. He's the God-man. As man, he wept at the grave of Lazarus. He wept. But as God, he raised him from the dead. So we stress his deity, but let us not forget his humanity. So the Savior was weary and sat thus on the well. You're familiar with the story. Reread it. Meditate upon it. The Samaritan woman came, and she emphasized the antiquity of this well. Our father Jacob gave to us this well, and he drank from it himself. What a gift. Thinking of the resources Jacob gave to his people that well, and he drank from it himself. Well, I have drunk from the well. She said, the well is deep. You know, the Lord Jesus offered her a greater gift, and greater in antiquity, for centuries before. Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Enoch, Noah, so many others found lasting satisfaction from the living water that his bounty supplied. The Lord Jesus said to her, if you only knew with whom you were speaking, if you only knew who I am, I would give to you living water. And she said, you'll see it in verse 11, look at it. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. I can remember when we were there, the guide said, now the well is deep. It's still there, and it's that well because it's the only well in the area. He said, the well is deep. And so he got a fairly good-sized stone. He said, now, be very quiet and listen as to when this rock will hit the water. So he dropped it. We waited, waited, waited. But finally, splash. It's right at 90 feet, a little over 90 feet deep. Sir, how can you give me this living water? As if it were going to come from this well. The well is deep, and you don't have anything to draw with. You know, this is the way we are when it comes to the Lord meeting our needs, isn't it? You know, we're inclined to think, well, you know, the preacher, the missionary, they live by faith. As if all of us don't. It's not the preacher, it's not the missionary, it's not the servant of the Lord who lives by faith. I'm talking about a commended servant. We're all servants, but we all live by faith. Four times over in the Bible. Habakkuk, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. And Paul said, Philippians 4:19, is it? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But sometimes we wonder, I don't know how the Lord is going to work this out. I don't know how the Lord is going to meet this need. I don't know how the Lord is going to bring this about because the means of accomplishing it are not visible to me. I don't know how he's going to do it. But he's God. And he can and does all things. Sir, you don't have anything to draw with. She said in verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob? My, my, what a question. Jacob. Jacob. You know, you go into the bookstores, Christian bookstores, and you see these cards or stickers listing Bible names and the meaning of the names, and every one of them sounds nice. But some of them are not correct. You go look at Jacob or James. James is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Jacob, and I'm a James. I said to my mother, why did you name me James? Well, she said, I named you after your Uncle James, which was no compliment. I think he was a bootlegger. I said, Mother, you know what it means? Look, I said, it's like Jacob. It means deceiver, schemer, conniver. You don't find that in the bookstore. Oh, they got all these pleasant meanings, you know. Jacob. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this? Greater than Jacob? That deceiver? That liar? That schemer? Am I greater than Jacob? Oh, my. What a question. Of course, he is greater than Jacob. But now let's use our Bibles. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 33. Genesis chapter 33. Verse 18. Genesis 33 and verse 18. And Jacob, or Jacob, came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a portion of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamar, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel, which means God, the God of Israel. But I want you to note three things about this well, the parcel of ground which contained the well. That well was purchased by Jacob. The woman implied that the well was a gift. Our father, Jacob, gave us this well. Are you greater than our father, Jacob? And so she implied that it was a gift. It cost her nothing. It cost Jacob something. But the Lord Jesus Christ was offering her a greater gift. And the emphasis of this portion of Scripture is a gift. A gift. So the Lord Jesus was offering her a greater gift, which would cost her nothing. But it would cost the Savior everything. Some years ago, I read a story by one of the great preachers of yesteryear. He was in the country of Wales. He was in a coal mining area. But each night he was preaching the gospel, and the miners came out and listened. And one of the miners said to him, "Preacher, I cannot accept what you've been preaching. You speak as if we don't have to do anything for our salvation." And the preacher said, "That is correct. The Savior has done it all. He paid the price for our salvation." "Well," he said, "I just can't accept that. I believe that it's up to us to do something. We must pay something." And this preacher said to him, "Were you in the mine today?" He said, "Yes, I was." "Where were you today?" And he told him the depth at which he was working in the mine. He said, how did you get out of the mine? Well, he said, I got out the way I always get out. I got on the lift and came to the surface. He said, how much did you have to pay? Pay? He said, I didn't have to pay anything. And the preacher said, now, wait a minute. Now, you were down, I don't know, something like a half a mile down in the earth. And you got out of that mine by simply getting onto the lift and coming to the surface? Yeah, that's right. And you didn't pay anything? No, I didn't pay anything. And the preacher said, I can't accept that. That sounds too cheap to me. That was the word the miner had used concerning what the preacher was saying. Sounds too cheap. And so the preacher said, that sounds too cheap to me. You just got on the lift and came to the surface, didn't pay anything. He said, I can't accept that. That sounds too cheap. And the miner said, cheap? Do you realize what it cost the company to sink that shaft and put in that lift? And when he said it, he realized what he was saying. And the preacher went on to say, do you realize what it cost God to sink that shaft, as it were, to make salvation available to sinners like us? Doesn't cost us anything, but it cost him everything. And salvation is free, not because it's cheap, but because it's paid for. Aren't you glad of that? So, the field with the well was purchased by Jacob. So make a note of that. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48. Come down to verse 21. And Israel said unto Joseph, let me just pause to say, his name was Jacob, Jacob, deceiver, schemer, conniver. But now he's Israel, a prince with God. He's Israel. And it's interesting that when you read through, when the old nature is being manifested, he's Jacob. But when that new nature is being manifested, he's Israel. And so now he is the spiritual man. He's learned a lot of lessons, many of which were learned the hard way. He learned some hard lessons. And he's blind physically, but he has 20/20 vision spiritually. And so Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. Now, that Jacob, or Israel, was referring to that same parcel of ground that we're reading of in John 4, is made clear from John chapter 4 and verse 5. Same parcel of ground. So, I want you to note, first of all, that that land, where was the well, was purchased by Jacob. And then, quite evidently, the Amorites came later seeking to take it away from him. And so there was necessity to take up arms to secure it. So that well was purchased, as was the land, but we're thinking of the well. That well was purchased by Jacob. It was secured by the sword and the bow. And also in Genesis chapter 48, we read of Jacob, or Israel, giving that parcel of land with the well, to Joseph. Now, it became part of Joseph's birthright, for Jacob said, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. You might remember that Reuben was Jacob's firstborn, but because of his terrible sin, you'll read of it in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, because of his terrible sin, that birthright was taken from him, and given to Joseph. So, here is the third point. That well was purchased by Jacob. It was secured by the sword and the bow. And thirdly, it was given to Joseph and his posterity to enjoy. So just remember these three points. The well purchased, the well possessed, and the well providing satisfaction. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well? And you will remember too, before Joseph died, he instructed his brothers that when the time comes that God is going to bring you out of Egypt, be sure to take my bones with you. And so you'll see in the last chapter of Joshua, they brought the bones of Joseph to Shechem and buried them there. When we were at the well, we could see the building not too far away where is buried the body of Joseph. We were not able to go there. But the body of Joseph, he said, take my bones. And so Joseph is buried there. So you see the Samaritans, they boast in their genealogical connection with Jacob and on back through Joseph. Now, I want you to note what this woman at the well said. Let's go back to John chapter 4. And I want you to note, this is very important. I want you to note what she said in verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, who is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. How did she know that? The Samaritans, when I said they incorporated into their worship early on, the rituals and the rites of Judaism, they accepted the first five books of Moses, the Pentateuch. And that's all they have even today as their Bible. That's all they recognize as being the Word of God, the first five books of the Bible. How did she know this? Well, you can put down Deuteronomy chapter 18. Our time is going, and I won't take time to turn there. But you will see in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, where God said to Moses, I am going to raise up a prophet, and you will note in your English translation that the word prophet there is spelled with a capital P. I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto you, Moses. Now, that is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this Samaritan woman, I'm going to say, being somewhat familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 18, knew that Messiah was to come. Note what the others of her area said in verse 42. And said unto the woman, verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, and the definite article is there, the Christ, the Savior of the world. They knew that from Deuteronomy chapter 18. And when you go to John's Gospel chapter 6, and the Lord Jesus performed that miracle of feeding the 5,000, you will see in John chapter 6 that the Jews also went back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and said, this is indeed the Christ spoken of by Moses. Well, this woman received the greater gift. And she left her water pot. That's interesting, isn't it? Verse 28. Sir, you don't have anything to draw with. And now she leaves her water pot and she goes back into the town to tell others about this one who is indeed the prophet, the Messiah that Moses spoke about. So in verse 10, we have the inflow. Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He would have given thee living water. The inflow. Every person who is saved has dwelling within him or her the Holy Spirit of God. Paul said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. And so here is the inflow. Look at verse 14. And whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, there's the upflow, the inflow, and the upflow. Turn over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And verse 37. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly or his innermost being, heart here, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. There is the outflow, the inflow, the upflow, and the outflow. Are you greater than our father, Jacob? My. The Lord Jesus never answered the question. But I can't help but wonder what she thought later. Surely she thought, what a foolish question that was for me to ask. Because I now have the living water. Do you have that living water? I trust you do. If not, I pray that you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I got 30 seconds, so we can't sing the song. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors and sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. I trust that's the case. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. Isn't it good to have life in Christ? Father, we do thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is to have the preeminence in all things. And I pray that each one of us who names his name will allow the Holy Spirit of God to so have his way with us, that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ will have the preeminence in all that we are and do. May it be so for his honor and glory, we pray in his name. Amen.
I've got a river of life
flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, let the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me, spring up, O well.